Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
You made it pretty clear that you want to stay competitive and you want to take a step back, but I'm curious, you obviously have the final say, but you also have a staff that works for you. Was there much internal debate about the direction of the franchise, and were there some people advocating to become sellers and maybe start the next roster iteration?
I think when we came here, you know, Bulls missed 5 years in a row. They weren't in the playoffs. So I think those thoughts, with those thoughts in mind, I think we all have these conversations internally. But at the end of the day, I think our group, you know, believes in this team, and we'll see what they can do in the last 30 games.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Happy Friday, everybody. That was Arturis Karnisovas talking about what a great question by Casey Johnson. I love that question. And I love it even more because you know he's close to the team, but he's not afraid to, you know, really get some inside information and do his job. Kudos to Casey Johnson. Tip my cap to him. That was a great question. And then, you know, I'm often talking Groats about, you know, the nonverbals within verbals, right? Like pitch, rate of speech, tone. And, you know, if you listen to the back end of that, you know, statement from AK, when he talks about, all right, let's go look at the last 30 games of the season. He fades. He fades as he's saying it. He's like, and we look at the passages.
Yeah. Like it's not an emphasized point.
Like, I know that I'm saying this, but damn, do I really want to look at the last 30 games of the season and how this thing pans out? And I think that's the biggest issue. I also want to be very clear, AK, if you're listening, you're one of your biggest supporters. So any criticism I have is the first time I've ever had criticism for you. And I do not like the fact that he brought up the 5 years that the Bulls were not in the playoffs. Because you passed the blame, you passed accountability on. Instead of talking about what you've been unable to do in terms of measured success for the Chicago Bulls, you then revert back to when asking about what is the building, talking about the internal discussions. Well, man, you got to remember when I got here, the Bulls hadn't made the playoffs for 5 years, papa. And then I switched this thing around and now you guys are being greedy. I got us to the playoffs. That's what we're concerned about. And it almost sounds like his schedule is long. Like he's on a 10-year plan where it's like, hey, I'll take us here. Let me cook here for a little bit, couple years. And now I'm going to, you know, man, like another couple years will be there. And then in a couple years after that, we can be talking about NBA championship. And I don't know. I just don't like that. I feel like there can be some sort of accountability to say, hey, you know what? We've been trying to get this thing right. And here are the things that we've done to try to get this right. And these things have not worked up until this point. But we feel good about the roster and the direction that the team, the organization has headed. And there was none of that in there.
So he wants to be, you know who he is so far? Actually, not even nearly as good as John Paxson yet. In terms of what he's accomplished. Because what you're talking about, like what he is talking about, the idea that he restored the team.
Yes.
He restored order in the team because it was just...
We are relevant again.
Relevant again. Exactly. And they had lost order in the previous regime. Whenever I hear that being discussed, my brain immediately goes to John Paxson. Because that's exactly what John Paxson did. John Paxson was the first post-Jerry Krause GM to restore order, to what had been completely out of order and embarrassing post Pippen and Jordan and Rodman
basketball.
It was just, it was so embarrassing and so really one of the, coming off the best era in Chicago sports, really one of the darkest eras for a Chicago sports team was the post-Jordan Chicago Bulls for a while. It was just embarrassing and bad, and we expected it to be bad, and it was just, it was a nightmare. Worst case scenario. But John Paxson was that GM that came and restored order and got them to the playoffs and winning in the play with a team that you knew was never going to get beyond that level. But there was a decent amount of appreciation at the time for John Paxson because of that. And look at these drafted and developing Luol Deng. And who's this Andres Nocioni that he went out and got for this? Oh, Kirk Heinrich. That's looking like, a, even though they really wanted Dwayne Wade in that draft, but Kirk Heinrich and, oh my God, Ben Gordon. Look what this guy is doing. And it was exciting and it was interesting, just as it was interesting and exciting when the Bulls got Vucevic to put along with what looked like a really nice core with Lonzo Ball, who was supposed to be a part of it, and Markkanen at the time, and obviously Zach LaVine and this whole crew. And then the whole thing, just that part of the plan became undone. So long way of saying, but I enjoyed the way I did it, long way of saying that AK, Arturis Karnišovas, is no more accomplished than John Paxson, who was basically run out of his position as GM by Bulls fans. Yeah.
And we haven't had the opportunity to be completely critical of AK. I mean, we've been critical, but not completely critical. We're like, it's time for us to weigh your job and whether you should have it or not. I don't think we're necessarily there yet because of, you know, obviously everything that's gone on. He's bought himself some more time.
What's this year? Is this fifth year for him doing this job? Because it's been, 2021 was the year that he got Vooch. Was that his sixth? So this is probably only his fourth year?
Fourth year, yeah. 2020 was the first year.
Yeah, 2020 was the blow up. Okay. He got it, and then, but he had Zach, no Vooch. He got Vooch at the trade deadline.
The middle March of the first year.
Yeah. So it was a 2020-2021 season.
See, he started with a bang, too. I mean, that's another thing.
I mean,
he got us excited. He made us like, oh, yeah, see, this is why I wanted John Paxson and Gar Forman out, because this guy, look at Vooch.
Like, this guy's making moves.
That was his first year.
This guy knows what he's doing.
And then the free agency into the 2021 season and how they started performing, it's like, wow,
yeah,
look at this.
Yeah. No, it felt like something. And so he set the bar pretty high with a core that most of us, okay. Oh. DeMar DeRozan?
The Vooch one was great because you were like, oh, pick and roll with Zach and Vooch.
Yes. Yes.
And you're like, this is going to work. And then, right, then they bring in DeMar and Lonzo and AK, or Alex Caruso, and you're like, AK's a genius.
But it didn't work.
It did work. Yeah. First half of the season.
That's right, where they did dominate.
So it did work. It just, it didn't work out.
It worked. Didn't work out. No, that's true, and that's part of the job. Like, you look at those as individual players, it looks like, yeah, that looks pretty good. But not realizing that there wouldn't be a chemistry between really the way we thought it would be between any of those guys.
I love what Scoop Jackson said. Like, I've had him on the show a couple times, and he's just like, Gabe, like, all right, Lonzo's gone. What did you do to, like, fix that?
Great question.
Zero. You have you have Patrick Williams.
Kobe White.
But that wasn't the point guard fix. Remember, Kobe was really supposed to be, they wanted him to be the one, but they realized quickly he wasn't.
It's a revelation that he's been able to do it at all.
And he's been playing, like, that's a whole other conversation.
Completely.
But continuing on the Scoop Jackson point was like, they didn't go get a point guard. And then, you know, they've been waiting for Pat Will to evolve into this power forward, and they don't have that prototypical, you know, 6'10", 6'9", power forward that's banging, getting rebounds, doing the Andre Drummond dirty work instead of having it to come in the form of a backup center. You know, having a true power forward somewhere on that roster. Those are the two key components. So they've been playing 3-on-5. That's what he's saying.
Mm.
The Bulls have been playing 3-5, and it's because of AK that they're playing 3-on-5, and he hasn't made those adjustments. So that's the part where I've tried to give him grace and been like, dude, you put together a good thing, you know, crap happens. There's a big hurdle in the way. But like, I've been waiting for him to make the next move, the next thing. How are you then reinventing this Bulls team yes. to make it better?
It's stalled out. It's stalled out. Right. Like, it doesn't mean that you have to break this thing down and the Bulls have to suck. It really doesn't. But right. it is, the car is stalled and it's just been sitting there.
Yeah.
And nobody's attending to it. And there's like maybe a sign on it. And
because yeah. the rain's been washing away the dirt, so it doesn't look that dirty. yeah.
Maybe there's a boot on the tire, actually. Yeah. But it's just but abandoned.
It's on the, but it's on the side of the street, so you can't see it.
Yeah.
we don't know. It's
That's
mobile.
What it is. But it looks nice. You know, it's still got a good paint job
you
still.
Can get, you can get some for it.
Uh-huh.
Let's go to Herschel out in Lincoln Park. Herschel, Bulls didn't make any moves at the trade deadline, but you said you're okay with that, correct?
Yes, I am. And how you doing, Gabe?
Hanging Brody. In there, man.
What's up?
Hey, Brody, you're getting popular over in Oak Park. I'll be seeing you walking around. you
oh,
know?
Oh, yeah?
Oh, what, from Lincoln, what, from Lincoln Park to Oak Park. He's in these streets.
Yes, I am. Hey, so first of all, I want to say shout out to Christina Limperis and her dad and her whole family yes. about the tragedy at the restaurant.
Yeah,
I went
Grill.
To school with Christina at University of Illinois, oh, so wow. I know her really well.
Good people.
And she's a personal friend of mine.
Oh, wow.
And, but I, yeah, seriously, it breaks my heart, especially with all the memorabilia they had inside there, too. I don't know how they're going to replace that.
The first thing I thought about was all the memorabilia at Palace Grill. Mm. It's the first thing I thought about.
Yes. Yes. I'm like, wow. You know, I mean, people like Chelios, Ronick, you know, Kane, they're going to do something for them. I know they are. But yeah. Besides that, I wanted to say that I've been wanting to call like Vegas Hall and talk to him, but I haven't had a chance, so I'm calling you and talk about the media in Chicago. You guys, not you guys, but the media is just so emotional because here's the thing. We gotta be patient because, like I was telling the guy on the phone earlier, that the beginning of the when we got Lonzo Ball, we were 1, 2, and 3 on seeds-wise, so we were doing great, and what we need is a pure point guard, a pass-first point guard. Obviously, we need a banger, you know, and a rim protector. But my whole point is, you know, I wasn't upset about them not doing anything because I know if we go out and get a point guard, you know, next, you know, summer or whatever, then, you know, we'll be right back in the situation because we're going to be fast. So don't break it all up yet. And I know DeMar's on decline, but I'll take his 15 points and that veteranship in the locker room, you know, and keep it rolling. You know what I mean?
So yeah, like, I hear you, Herschel. I hear you. I think the biggest issue is that, you know, trying to see what the light at the end of the tunnel looks like, right? And so if we're in the present, yes. trying to then see what that looks like, it's not a beautiful picture at the very end, you know? It's this like blurry, fuzzy thing that we don't know what it is. And I think that's the biggest issue.
Right. Yes, and think about what he did in Denver, too. And, you know, maybe at the trade deadline wasn't really nothing that's out there that can you know, that was sufficing, you know, get us over that little hump we're going through right now. I mean, maybe I thought of Miles Bridges, but, you know, they weren't going to get rid of him. You know what I mean? And people were like, well, what about Patrick Beverly? Patrick Beverly is not a pure point guard. He's nothing but a poor man's Caruso. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
you know,
been there, done that. You
know, yes, exactly. You know what I'm saying? And my thing is, if we got a true pure point guard, I'm not saying Lillard per se, or like, what's the dude name from the Lakers?
D'Angelo Russell.
You know, I'm not saying him per se either, but if we had a pure point guard, it'd be the same routine with Lonzo. I'm not saying he's not going to come back. I'm not holding my hope, but, you know, if we got a point guard and we got somebody inside, then I think we need to give up on Patrick Williams because I think he's at his peak. I mean, he's not going to go any higher than what he is.
Yeah.
So I think that we, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like, I'm disappointed.
Of course, because I think when you look at Patrick Williams, I mean, you look at a team like the Detroit Pistons, and they just cut Killian Hayes, 7th pick in the draft, 3 after Pat Will. You know what I mean? Like, not Bulls, but Chicago teams don't do things like that. I can't even remember the last time I seen and I'm sure somebody will be like, oh, what about this? Yeah, okay, fine, one. But I don't even know what that is yet. But I know somebody can say it. I don't know what it is, but I can't think of a time. Oh, here we go. Producer's doing it.
No, I had a
producer's doing his job. What is it?
I had a thought about Patrick Williams.
Okay, go ahead.
This is Kobe White's 5th year, right? And he's yeah. made a tremendous jump from the last couple of years. Yeah. Patrick Williams is entering his 5th year
way
next
different.
Year.
Way different. Way different because you saw it with Kobe White a couple of years ago.
Do you think Patrick Williams can make that kind of jump next year?
No, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, Kobe was making jumps every year for the last couple of years, Pat Will has not made a jump at all. Like, no part of his game. And the thing is this. We see his game. He has the – it's like kind of like Justin Fields, where you see a guy who can jump high, grab rebounds, pull up from mid-range of over everyone else, play great defense, smack a three-pointer. But you're like, damn, why can't you do this consistently? Because I see it. I see you going to the rim trying to dunk on everybody, but it doesn't go in. But I see you trying, and I'm like, damn, if those dunks can go in, if those three-pointers can get in, if he can continue to make that mid-range, if he can play defense, he could be Kawhi Leonard. But he's not. But he's not. He's just not going to – like, it's not going to happen.
Sometimes I think the Bulls – and I think the White Sox are guilty of this same thing. To your point, they look at these guys and they say, he's got to be good. You're telling me this guy who's got that athleticism, who's got that body. Remember, that was the thing about him coming out of college.
Jordan.
Yeah.
That's what it is, Grody. If you play for the Cubs, you need to be Ernie Banks. If you play for the Bulls, you have to be Michael Jordan. If you play for the Bears, you must be Brian Urlacher or Walter Payton. Like, that's it. That's it. There's no, you can be mediocre or you can be like mid-level or you can be like an all right guy. There is none of that. It's Darnell Mooney. Is he a number one or not? Like, what the hell?
Well, I've said in talking with you, though, before.
Jack Sanborn? Brian Urlacher, baby Urlacher.
Jack Urlacher.
Jack, good. It's like, come on.
Good is good, too, though.
But you know? we don't want good. I think people would settle for good
with that. You really think that the problem with Patrick Williams is that the expectations are that people think he's going to be Jordan? I mean, I would settle for...
People aren't loving Kobe White until he scores Rose. 30 points a game. They're like, Kobe, 25?
No.
30.
No, you're telling me...
Now we're
you're
ready.
Telling me if he was a consistent... Let's say he put up Vooch numbers on a consistent basis.
Vooch puts up 25 and 10.
I know.
That's nasty.
That's what I'm saying. Like, if he was to put up those numbers, on it, you don't think that that would be enough? Like, I think that that would be the Bulls.
No one would say Kobe White is a guy you should build your team around.
Actually, who said it the other day? It was...
Stop it. That's foolish.
No. Cody Westerlund brought it up. I have to go back in the podcast, but... That topic did come up.
I mean, it's his,
really building around Kobe White.
And then he laughed afterwards.
I laughed about that concept.
That's what I'm saying.
Nobody is building around Kobe White. You're right, and nobody's building around Vooch, and nobody would build around a 25 and 10 Patrick Williams, probably, but not everybody could be like that.
Okay, now here, let's use Pat Will in that example. If Pat Will was averaging 25 and 10, we would think he was a monster.
That's what I was saying.
I thought you said that about Kobe White, though.
Did I say Kobe White?
Yeah.
Oh.
And that's why I was like, no.
I heard you say if Pat Will put up Vooch's numbers.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I heard that.
Okay. We got to roll back the tape.
That's the guy that I was thinking about, Patrick Williams.
Okay.
And that's why I was like, well, you're telling me that if he did 25 and 10 a game, people wouldn't be like, leave him alone?
Yeah.
I would leave him alone after that. I never thought this guy was. So you think that because of the expectations of where he was drafted, that people really said Patrick Williams is a star or bust?
I think it was, you need to be averaging 25 and 10 or else we're going to treat you the way we're treating you right now. Like, he's not even, like,
do you think he's being mistreated? Serious question.
By the Bulls,
I don't know. You said that he wouldn't be being treated the way he's being treated right now. What did you mean by that?
He's treated like a guy that's not averaging 25 and 25.
Absolutely.
And 10. Yeah.
No, I understand, but I don't think that they on the other side are saying you have to be a star. I think they would like he's below average.
Wait, you're talking about the Bulls organization or the fan base? I'm talking about the fan base.
Yeah, I don't believe that the fan base's expectations are star, but that's what you think. You think
yes.
The Bulls, maybe you're in better touch with the Bulls fan base than
I am. Look at Zach LaVine. Like, Zach LaVine is a star, but people want him to be a superstar.
That's true. That's a good point.
Like, you're on Team USA, you're average, you're one of the top 20 players in the league. No one cares. Because you can't win a championship with you.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Like, it's always like that.
Yeah.
DeMar DeRozan, good. Not that good. It's like, he's like the one consistent guy
on
the team.
But Patrick Williams, what has he ever done in his career or even on the court that made Bulls fans think, is it just because of where he was drafted that we have held?
It's because of where he's been drafted and what the potential that it's.
Where does that come from, though? We haven't seen, like, the
potential,
the truth of, like, the whether in college or whether with the Bulls in terms of at least, like, Zach LaVine won a slam dunk contest.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you knew that there was something there.
I think you see Pat Will. Again, I think you see Pat Will. You see his body, like, his makeup.
Yeah.
And you see his game and, like, what it can be. And I think that's where then all Bulls fans say, okay, well, I am not looking at you as a role player. I'm looking at you as a component of a team. You need to be the man in that space. And they saw it quickly with Kobe White that wasn't going to be what it was. Got relegated to the bench. He wasn't even starting for a while. Like, no one thought anything of it. And then, like I said, he worked on his game. He got better. And then all of a sudden, he's where he's at, and people embrace him in a different way. Pat Will, it's like, oh, okay, I can kind of see where you're pretty good. They keep giving him chances. They're trying to force the thing. And then it doesn't come. And it's like, well, yeah, no. I don't want you as a role player no more. Like, you just didn't pan out. And so now I'm ready to move on from you. It's just tough. But again, I think it's any sport. It's Pete Carr Armstrong for the Cubs. Like, he needs to be a perennial all-star now, right? Dustin Rhodes will tell you that he's going to be a Hall of Famer. Like, this is what happens with guys. Like, the White Sox, the same thing. It's just what happens here in this town.
That's such a great point.
Where sorry, I know, Tyler, we gotta go. The last part is, and then we wonder why guys underperform. It's because we put so much pressure on them to be great. It's because we put so much expectation on them. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh, well, Eddie Jackson, you suck. It's like, wait, whoa, okay. I mean, does he? Kyler Gordon, you suck.
Right.
Like, wait, what?
Relative to greatness.
To greatness.
Yeah. Relative to being elite.
It's just like, you know.
Ah, that's a great point. Like, we never really allow someone just to suck. I'll tell you the only example. Well, maybe not even. Because Jason Hayward took his fair. It wasn't like everybody was just loving on Jason Hayward all the time.
Right.
But what a flop he was. I hate saying this. What a flop he was as a player, as a free agent. Jason Hayward.
Yeah.
You know?
Shout out to him having his baseball camp. Or what is it called? It's a baseball facility.
To him doing something great after I just
stomped him down. Shout out to him being in Chicago.
He's such a great guy. And he did contribute. It just was not. That's not a win as a free agent player. That's that's the sad truth, folks. We tell sad truths here on the Score.
Somebody that is great and on the field. Brian Urlacher. And he weighed in on the Justin Fields, Caleb Williams debate. I want to be able to chat about that a little bit before we get up out of here at 9 o'clock. All right. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Mark Grody. Make sure you can. Look, from the 309. Thank you for talking about Ejax. He deserves better. That must be a relative.
I don't know if he deserves better.
Stop. Let's not do that. All right. More on the other side. It's Gabe and Grody on 670.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Score. Love you, Eddie.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Got about a half an hour left with you guys. Shout out to everybody on the roads. Get everywhere safely. Hands on 10 and 2. And then, Grody, you got to give me a ride home today. So I hope you have hands on 10 and 2 later today.
Is the weather bad or something? What's up with the serious warning there? What was that all about?
Because I rode with you left. I rode with you on Monday. I know how you drive.
It was a weird drive home because, man, we both had that moment where I'm driving and there's a cop right behind me, coming out of a hunt. I'm like, oh no, he's got me for something. And then that relief when they go by you, they don't want any part of us. There was something bigger for them.
And then I tell Grody, he's like, yeah, man, I've been locked up a couple times. Yeah. I see the police scares the hell out of me. He's like, I've had a couple tickets that have been some scary ones. I was like, yeah. Same thing, Grody.
All right, so I can't match your criminal record. So you're better than me because you've been arrested.
Hey, the same level of fear, though. That's good. You know, we both have it, no matter what. It's a healthy amount of it.
Exactly. You know? Maybe mine is disproportionate, but it really is valid. Heart. You know, there's a cop behind you, and the heart just starts thumping.
Grody was sad because he didn't have his license.
I didn't. I was like, he's got me. Because I got the license plate sticker when it was -30 degrees and they told me not to put it on yet.
And if that interaction would have been anything like the one we had with Matt Spiegel before our show today, Grody would have told on himself. And I got to be honest, officer, I don't have my license.
That's very true. That's true.
Brian Urlacher told on himself, and he weighed in on the Justin Fields, Caleb Williams dilemma. And what he said was interesting. Did you get a chance to hear it from here?
I have not heard this. I've been excited all night to hear about this.
Okay, no, it's okay. Urlacher said, if people are still asking if Justin is the guy, then he's probably not the guy.
Oh, wow.
In my opinion, they probably have to draft a kid.
Wow.
Huh. So that was on. He was on with Ari Mirov on his show.
That's surprising.
And he said it right there. What is surprising about that?
Surprising because it feels like most guys that have played the game or have coached the game have been supportive of Justin Fields. And because they're not really watching what's going on in the games as closely as we'd like to think. So they look at it and go, oh, come on, man. It's not his fault. Like, come on, man. What does he have on that team? Come on. Like, you know how many times I've heard that from outside perspective? Come on, man. I mean, I really think that Justin Fields can do. You give him a better offensive line and you give him better running backs. Give him better. Come on, man. This guy deserves it. You hear that so often that I was glad to actually hear, and I tend to agree with him too, that it does.
Not tend to. You do.
I do. Well, it's such a great point in itself, though. That Urlacher just saying that if we're still asking the question, he's right.
You know what's a big one? You know what's a big one that I've heard a lot doing these overnight shows and taking Bears calls is, how can you evaluate the quarterback properly when he doesn't have good center play? Going back to the Fields thing.
Well, I guess that's all that's left now is Lucas not equipped to be with the Chicago Bears, Patrick. That was just not something that was going to go down.
I'm just not a fan of moving the finish line. And I think that, you know, a lot of Bears fans have done that specifically with Justin Fields. And I think it's just so simple. It's like you need a good quarterback to win in the NFL. And we've watched enough football where you can objectively look at Justin Fields, his play, take out the center position, take out, you know, whatever. But just like watch the guy play. I can watch anybody, and I don't care who their offensive coordinator is. I don't care how many guys they got on the offensive line that are Pro Bowlers. I can watch a guy play football and be like, that guy's good. Or that guy's a top guy. So I can look at Justin Fields and I say he's good, right? He's good. But I don't look at him and say he's great or he's going to be great. That's just me. That's what I see. And for me, it's just hard because I think of a guy like Brian Urlacher. You know, all these guys, they've been playing with quarterbacks their whole lives, right? Really good quarterbacks their whole lives and good teams. They know what a good quarterback looks like. They know how a good quarterback operates. They know what the it factor is that a quarterback has.
Actually, yes. Does Brian Urlacher know what a good quarterback is? Who's his it factor? Jay Cutler?
But he can look, Jay Cutler, he can look at Aaron Rodgers and say,
that's true.
I got my ass whipped by Aaron Rodgers, okay. And that guy got the it factor.
Point taken.
Right.
And probably many other quarterbacks that the Bears played on Brian Urlacher's watch. It probably doesn't even have to go as deep as Aaron Rodgers.
You do it too. Just the same reason. The reason why you're okay with the Bears going in a different direction from Justin Fields is because you watch football objectively and you can look at it and say, okay, I hear you. If he had all this other stuff, would he be better? Yeah. Yes. But I also understand how football works. And if I can take this guy and he's the top five guy, then I'm set.
Right. And there are enough flaws with Justin Fields to his game that we point out all the time to indicate that while I guess I agree with most people who say, yeah, he's a top 32 quarterback. He's probably going to be a starter in this league for, you know, maybe 4 to 6 years or something like that. But there's enough flaws to say he's not going to be able to overcome all of those and turn them into positives and become what we hoped he would be, and that is a very good to great to elite quarterback. Like, that just ain't there.
And let's be very clear. Even if Justin Bears keep Justin Fields and they keep him, like, I'm going to give you the vision that I have in my head, Groats.
Please.
Bears keep Justin Fields. Bears add a bunch of talent around them. Bears win the first round of the playoffs, make it to the second round. And then Justin Fields just makes, like, Bears win the first round because, like, despite some mistakes, they can still overcome it because they're a good team. Second round comes, like, you just realize that you're just the inferior team because of the quarterback play.
And you're just never going to get over that hump. Like, you're never going to
win. That's my vision.
Maybe you'll scratch and claw for a playoff win.
You want to ask me why I'm okay taking somebody else? That's why.
Full circle, John Paxson.
Dollar in the bucket talking about the Bulls.
But I don't have to. I never made that rule. That was you. You have the Bulls problem.
From 6 to 9
o'clock. But it's a good analogy. It's a good to bring it back to what the Bulls had created a team under John Paxson in the early days and the Luol Deng days, whoever you want to have the face of that be, that absolutely could compete and maybe win a playoff series. But if they don't, it's going to be fun anyway because we're all going to remember every one of those great playoff games and the place yelling Nocioni. So
Nocioni.
That's right. That was kind of fun, wasn't it?
That
was a lot of fun. But that, yeah, I mean, I think that is similar. You're right.
Yeah.
There is at some point in time that would hit a wall. That would hit a wall that would be pretty tasty for come postseason, but it would ultimately disappoint.
Yeah, and if you're talking, you know, just continuing to use the Bulls, you know, framework, it's, you know, it's just frustrating. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay.
It's frustrating because I was going to say, then
put a quarter in the bucket, by the way.
Dollar. Yeah. It's the same thing where people are saying that the Bulls didn't make any moves at the trade deadline. They just want to be competitive enough where they don't necessarily win and have to be responsible for winning or having a winning franchise. People are going to come into the gate. So we just need to have, as Dan Bernstein would call it, dinner theater.
Ugh.
And that's what we would get if we have Justin Fields.
Oh, man.
You would get dinner theater. You get an entertaining game where you have the opportunity to win. You can, but it's not expected, and no one's going to say, oh, Bears should have won. That's what's going to end up happening. It's going to be gross. It's going to be disgusting.
An entertaining product on the field.
Dinner theater. You spend $200 and you come see a great spectacle for 3 hours.
But at some point in time, how long can you do that, though? And it does have a lifespan. But literally, is it 3 to 5 years where
ask the Bulls. The Bulls haven't won a championship since the late 90s, and they still have the number one attendance in the NBA.
Who's that team in the NFL?
Is there a team like that?
All
the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, yeah.
I'm saying, like, kind of. Like, that's the first one that came to mind.
Yeah.
Like a team that wins, but they're just not good and they're not going to be good.
Right. Well, but for so many years they did, and it doesn't feel like it's that far removed. Yeah. But a team now, I almost said Baltimore, but that's like, wait, they won the Super Bowl in the Ray the Ray Lewis days just seemed like so long ago. It feels like this version.
The Vikings are like teams that are good but don't win.
Right. The teams that are good that don't. The Vikings is maybe the best example.
Yeah.
They are their head is always above water. Always. Or at least it feels like it.
The last decade or so with all the quarterbacks and talent they had on the offensively. Yeah.
Right.
Adrian Peterson, Randy Moss, Dante Culpepper. Come on.
I was just going to say they're not memorable, but those teams were, those players were memorable. But yeah. Their head is always above water, but you never really see them in the end.
No, we don't. Yeah. All right, guys. It is Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is next week.
Today is the 9th.
Today's the 9th
of February.
So Wednesday. Yeah. Next Wednesday is Valentine's Day.
Wow.
And with it right around the corner, I wanted to marry Valentine's Day and sports. And I feel like I have a unique way to do it. And I feel like you guys will agree with it as well, because there is something special that happens with sports games around Valentine's Day. And so I'm sure you've been a part of that. We'll discuss it on the other side. It's Gabe and Grody. Right here on 670 The Score.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Valentine's Day is on Wednesday. Have you got your bootang a gift yet? It's Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody here on 670 The Score. Grody, you strike me as a guy that, like, still gets your mom something for Valentine's Day. Or not still, but gets your mom something for Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Your card, send her some flowers.
I believe that.
Yeah.
You see, you're a very nice guy.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
And I know you love your parents, so.
Yeah, yeah, no, of course.
Huh.
So, for sure.
My mom used to give me stuff all the time, and then I kind of grew out of that. And by grew out of that, I mean she just that thought I was too old for that.
Yeah.
So yeah. I still wanted the gifts.
Right. Anything will help. It's just whatever you got on you.
No, I'll take anything. A couple bucks, dinner, whatever it is. Yeah. But it was interesting because, you know, with Valentine's Day around the corner, like this weekend, I saw a bunch of people at the Bulls game, like, and they were like in love.
Mm.
And you could tell, like, maybe, you know, for Christmas or maybe, you know, somebody's like, hey, boo, for Valentine's Day, I got you a gift early. I'm taking you to the Bulls game.
Oh, yeah.
That Valentine's
Day. Don't get up on a kiss cam.
How are you about Valentine's Day or birthday holiday tickets for those specific events?
To it. I have one memorable experience in that vein. And I think it's memorable because this is I'll be interested to hear what you said.
What
the ruling is on this. Or if this is something that you would endeavor to do if it's a dumb idea. I went on a first date on Valentine's Day to a Bulls game.
Mm-mm.
Oh, wow. Go on.
There's many X's.
I
many things wrong with that.
I think I agree with you, but tell me why.
First thing. A first date should never be on Valentine's Day.
I know. It's a really tough decision.
Or even like around it. Like push it out to like the 20, so there's a 2 in front of the day. Or single digits. Anything in the teens, you're effed, my friend. All right? That's first off. Second of all, to all my young fellas out there, don't ever take your first date somewhere where you can't talk. And so, like a Bulls game, you're responsible for watching the game, what's going on. At least me, I'm interested in it. I want to see the Bulls. I'm not going to have an opportunity to like be like, so, you know what I'm saying? Where'd you live before this? Who you have a roommate? How long you guys known them? Like that kind of stuff. So, you know, movies can't do that. Can't go to games. Can't go to plays. Can't go to any of those things where you can't talk on your first date. So those are the two.
It was a terrible first date place because of exactly that. It was such a waste. Like there may as well not have been a Bulls game going on.
Because you should have went to a bar.
Oh my God. Well, that was a lesson learned. Yeah. That nothing good happened on that date or nothing that didn't feel complicated until when we went to ESPN Zone. Remember the ESPN Zone in Chicago? Yeah, I love the ESPN Zone. And so that was perfect because we were able to talk and then play Papa Shot. Yeah. Like, so it went from, now I'm like going way outside the circles of this topic.
I like this though.
But it did go from horrible to perfect.
At least
like ideal. Clearly. Activity dates on first dates are, I think, are very good.
Activity dates, things bowling. You can make jokes about, bowling, yeah. You know, you can have fun.
Yes.
You know, those are always good. Or if you're really trying to flex, like a super hard flex, you buy tickets to the Bulls game, right? Maybe not in the 100 level because it was expensive. And then you just kind of like chill out in the concourse, right? So you're appreciating the stadium. You're appreciating the walking around. You're stopping somewhere, maybe getting a beer.
That's true. You could do that at the United Center because it does feel like just play. Okay, what about you?
I many a time I've had like, you know, wearing red shirts for the Bulls game and like that kind of stuff.
Oh, you've done that?
I've definitely done that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I could see you doing that. Oh, I could totally see you doing
that. I am that guy.
I
have zero problem dressing up like my girl.
No.
Zero.
I believe that.
Whatever.
I believe it.
I'm confident.
I don't even need to see it. I don't want to see it.
When I was in high school at Lane Tech, oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying this. My girlfriend and I at the time, we would dress like each other every day.
Oh, God.
Every day.
Yeah.
Like Mondays, we'd be like in a Nike Air Force One t-shirt with some white Air Force Ones. And then Tuesday, we'd be like in, you know, jean overalls. And then we were deep. I love that girl.
That got you ready for your boy band.
It did. Tell me why.
How did he have that ready? I did not. There's no conspiracy here, man.
That's so good. But yeah, we did. We did. Shout out to Vanessa. We would we would always do that.
That's pretty hot.
It was.
Or
it
is
was.
It
was, because then when you look back at the pictures, you were like, my God, why were we dressing like each other every day?
It's ridiculous.
This isn't Great America. What are we doing? We were really deep. We were deep.
Great America is where that's supposed to happen. Yep. Yeah. Disney World.
Not Lane Tech.
Not Lane
Tech. Period lunch. You know what I'm saying?
Did you take crap from people for doing that, or was that just a thing?
No. She played basketball at Lane, and she probably whoop anybody's ass.
Okay,
so no, like,
so you guys were elite. You guys were elite kids at that at Lane Tech, so nobody messed with you. Is what you're saying?
No,
I think that's what you're saying a little bit. Like, you're like nobody's messing. Nobody's making fun of us.
They're scared of her.
Oh, she was the one with that.
Scared of me out there.
Okay, so she was for real. She wore the pants in the relationship. I gotcha.
I was scared of her too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me all about it on our drive home to the OP, baby.
Oak Park Boys,
yeah,
out of here, baby. Got to shout out our guests for today, Mike Palm from Circa Sports. Also, a big thanks to Hub Arcus for hanging out with us today. Got to thank our producer, Tyler Ferengall, baby T. I said that's his radio name. Who gave you that name? It was me. I will tell you this. Yesterday, Wednesday, I did a show with Tyler Buterbaugh, and I called him Ferengall twice.
So he's your favorite Tyler. There it is. What's your answer?
I work with Buterbaugh. I just work with Ferengall more often. That's how I feel about that.
Buterbaugh. But you know what, pal?
But you know what? I bring it up because that's why I tried to call him Baby T.
Oh yeah.
So that way we didn't have to deal with
it. You know what
I'm
call
Baby T over Tyler Ferengall way more Thank often
you.
Around here.
You know you're actually Baby LP because we both went to Lake Park and you are considerably younger than I. So you're Baby LP. Yeah.
I don't know if that has the same ring to it.
But you got to admit,
I'm going to pull it. That's for sure.
Under the circumstances and the time left on the show, time and circumstances, but that was a pretty good comeback on my part.
I thought that was good.
Yeah,
you're a baby nonetheless.
Baby LP.
That's what we do now. Grody, it's been a pleasure as always, my friend.
Thank you, Gabe.
BetMGM tonight is up next. Mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima, that means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez. He is Mark Grody. That's Baby T. And this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Just lost your ride.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you. Because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there is no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100-plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
It's Gabe Ramirez and Mark Grody on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
Valentine's Day is on Wednesday. Have you got your bootang a gift yet? It's Gabe Ramirez, Mark Grody here on 670 The Score. Grody, you strike me as a guy that, like, still gets your mom something for Valentine's Day. Or not still, but gets your mom something for Valentine's Day.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Your card, send her some flowers.
I believe that.
Yeah.
You see, you're a very nice guy.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
And I know
that.
You love your parents, so.
Yeah, no, of course. Huh. So, okay. For sure.
My mom used to give me stuff all the time, and then I kind of grew out of that. And by grew out of that, I mean she just thought I was too old for that.
Yeah.
I still wanted the gifts.
Right. Anything will help. It's just whatever you got on you.
No, I'll take anything. A couple bucks, dinner, whatever it is. Yeah. But it was interesting because, you know, with Valentine's Day around the corner, like this weekend, I saw a bunch of people at the Bulls game, like, and they were like in love.
Mm.
And you could tell, like, maybe, you know, for Christmas or maybe, you know, somebody's like, hey, boo, for Valentine's Day, I got you a gift early. I'm taking you to the Bulls game.
Oh, yeah.
That Valentine's
Don't get
Day
up yet. On that kiss cam.
How how are you about Valentine's Day or birthday holiday tickets for those specific events?
To it, I have one memorable experience in that vein, and I think memorable because this is. I'll be interested to hear what you said.
What
the ruling is on this, or if this is something that you would endeavor to do if it's a dumb idea. I went on a first date on Valentine's Day to a Bulls game.
Mm-mm.
Oh wow, go on.
There's many X's.
I
many things wrong with that.
I think I agree with you, but tell me why.
First thing, A first date should never be on Valentine's Day.
I know. It's a really tough decision.
Or even like around it. Like push it out to like the 20, so there's a 2 in front of the day. Or single digits. Anything in the teens, you're effed, my friend. All right? That's first off. Second of all, to all my young fellas out there, don't ever take your first date somewhere where you can't talk. And so, like a Bulls game, you're responsible for watching the game, what's going on. At least me, I'm interested in it. I want to see the Bulls. I'm not going to have an opportunity to like be like, so, you know what I'm saying? Where'd you live before this? Who you have a roommate? How long you guys known them? Like that kind of stuff. So, you know, movies can't do that. Can't go to games, can't go to plays, can't go to any of those things where you can't talk on your first date. So those are the two.
It was a terrible first date place because of exactly that. It was such a waste. Like there may as well not have been a Bulls game going on.
You should have went to a bar.
Oh my God. Well, that was a lesson learned. Yeah. That nothing good happened on that date or nothing that didn't feel complicated until post when we went to ESPN Zone. Remember the ESPN Zone in Chicago? Yeah, I love the ESPN Zone. And so that was perfect because we were able to talk and then play Papa Shot. Yeah. Like, so it went from, now I'm like going way outside the circles of this topic.
I like this though.
But it did go from horrible to perfect. Like ideal. Clearly. Activity dates on first dates are, I think, are very good.
Activity dates, things bowling. You can make jokes about, bowling, you can have fun.
Yes.
You know, those are always good. Or if you're really trying to flex, like a super hard flex, you buy tickets to the Bulls game, right? Maybe not in the 100 level because it was expensive. And then you just kind of like chill out in the concourse, right? So you're appreciating the stadium. You're appreciating the walking around. You're, you know, stopping somewhere, maybe getting a beer.
That's true. You could do that at the United Center because it does feel like just play. Okay, what about you?
I many a time I've had like, you know, wearing red shirts for the Bulls game and like that kind of stuff.
Oh, you've done that?
I've definitely done that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I could see you doing that. Oh, I could totally see you doing
that. I am that guy.
I
have zero problem dressing up like my girl.
No.
Zero.
I believe that.
Whatever.
I believe it.
I'm confident.
I don't even need to see it. I just remember, I don't want to see it.
When I was in high school at Lane Tech, oh my God, I can't believe I'm saying this. My girlfriend and I at the time, we would dress like each other every day.
Oh, God.
Every day.
Yeah.
Like Mondays, we'd be like in a Nike Air Force One t-shirt with some white Air Force Ones. And then Tuesday, we'd be like in, you know, jean overalls. And then we were deep. I love that girl.
That got you ready for your boy band.
It did. Tell me why. Oh,
How did he have that ready? I did not. There's no conspiracy here, man.
That's so good. But yeah, we did. We did. Shout out to Vanessa. We would we would always do that.
That's pretty hot.
It was.
It
was because then when you look back at the pictures, you were like, my God, why were we dressing like each other every day?
It's ridiculous.
This isn't Great America. What are we doing? We were really deep. We were deep.
Great America is where that's supposed to happen. Yep. Yeah. Disney World.
Not Lane Tech.
Not Lane
Tech. Period lunch. You know what I'm saying?
Did you take crap from people for doing that or was that just a thing?
No. She played basketball at Lane, and she probably whoop anybody's ass.
Okay,
so
you guys were elite. You guys were elite kids at Lane Tech, so nobody messed with you. Is what you're saying?
No,
I think that's what you're saying a little bit. Like, you're like nobody's messed. Nobody's making fun
of us. They're scared
of
hurt.
Oh, she was the one with that.
Scared of me out there.
Okay, so she was for real. She wore the pants in the relationship. I gotcha.
I was scared of her too.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Tell me all about it on our drive home to the OP, baby.
Oak Park Boys,
yeah,
out of here, baby. Got to shout out our guests for today, Mike Palm from Circa Sports. Also, a big thanks to Hub Arcus for hanging out with us today. Got to thank our producer, Tyler Ferengall, Baby T. I said that's his radio name. Who gave you that name? It was me. I will tell you this. Yesterday, Wednesday, I did a show with Tyler Buterbaugh, and I called him Ferengall twice.
So he's your favorite Tyler. There it is. What's your answer?
I work with Buterbaugh. I just work with Ferengall more often.
How you feel about that? Buterbaugh. It's your move, pal.
But you know what? I bring it up because that's why I tried to call him Baby T.
Oh, yeah.
So that way we didn't have to deal with
it. You know what
I'm
call
Baby T over Tyler Ferengall way more Thank often
you.
Around here.
You know, you're actually Baby LP because we both went to Lake Park and you are considerably younger than I. So you're Baby LP. Yeah.
I don't know if that has the same ring to it.
But you got to admit,
I'm going to pull it. That's for sure.
Under the circumstances and the time left on the show, time and circumstances, but there was a pretty good comeback on my part.
I thought that was good too.
Yeah,
you're a baby nonetheless.
Baby LP.
That's what we do now. Grody, it's been a pleasure as always, my friend.
Thank you, Gabe.
BetMGM tonight is up next. Mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima, that means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez. He is Mark Grody. That's Baby T. And this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Just lost your ride.